Got your Bibles? First of all, I want to ask you some questions about this morning. How many were here this morning? Rebecca, you weren't here this morning? Okay, you didn't raise your hand. I thought, well, where were you? I know you were here. Okay, who else? Over here. Everyone here? Here? You here? Yeah. What is your name? What is it? Lay? Laith. Spell it for me. Leythe. Have you ever found another Laith at school? I bet not. I don't know if I'll remember that name. I'll call you Mr. L. Okay? Okay. This morning, what did we talk about this morning? Being blind. I like your prayer. I thought, right on, you remembered what we talked about this morning, Dan, correct? It was very good. What did he pray? You remember what he prayed? Huh? Yes. House of prayer. What else did he say? We're listening to his prayer? What guys are doing? Why are you up here? Jason? Blind. What did we say about blind this morning?
That we are blind.
Yes. Why? Why are we blind?
We have blind spots. We're born blind.
Yeah. Born blind was one of them. The devil, sin.
Our
what?
Our sorrow.
Excellent.
Self-deception.
Yes. Did you hear what he said, girls, over there talking? Did you hear what he said? Sarah? Are you Sarah? You're Sarah. You're Hadassah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm sorry about that. I won't remember. You're Sarah. You're Hadassah. Okay, you remember? Did you hear what he just said? No. Say it again and louder, Yanni. What did he say? Oh, you answer for her? That's cute. Okay. Yes. I closed with talking about a kind of person that's blind. You remember? It starts in the F. That's your clue. Look at your notes. Did you write it down? Don't remember? Didn't write it down. Anyone remember what it is? Adults?
The fool.
Because we're going to talk tonight about that, and then we're going to look at the second thing in the house of prayer. Do you remember the two things Jesus healed?
Blind and lame.
Blind and lame. Very good. So we're going to look at the lame tonight, but I want to go back. Let me get my glasses. I want to go back and look at the fool for a few minutes, because Scripture says we are born fools. And the Scripture tells us, and let me find that, Proverbs 22. Get to Proverbs 22. You know, next time you'll have a Bible. Good. Okay, Proverbs 22. Now, see, she's got tabs on her Bible. 22, verse. Oh, I better be looking it up. Proverbs 22, verse 15. 15. Okay, who wants to read it for me?
Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him.
Okay, so we're born fools, and what drives it out of your heart?
The rod of correction.
The rod of correction. Can you say hoorah to that? Ooh, see, I want to say Yahoo, so you got to watch me, guys. So there's something in me wants to say you. So if I say Yahoo, you know what I'm really saying, because I don't know why that is stuck in my brain. So I want to unstick it. So if I do, then you correct me. Will you please? Thank you. Yeah, see, good. All right. So the rod of correction. Now, how many of us love correction? So, when we don't get corrected, what does that mean? Fools! What Scripture says. And those of us that are adults, if we did not get biblical, godly correction, you and I are still fools. And that's why God has to correct us and deal with us, because there's foolishness in us. And we think we're wise and we've got it all together. The truth is, he still has to show me I'm a fool. And I do a lot of foolish things that I need to still be corrected. We saw this morning that when the Lord loves us, he corrects us. Why does he correct us? Because we're fools. And what does he want us to become?
Wise.
What does a wise man do? According to Matthew, let's look at Matthew. What does a wise man do? Because we don't want to stay foolish. We want to be wise. Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. You have it, Jason?
Yeah.
Will you please read it?
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man built in a house upon the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great...
What does that tell us about the foolish and the wise? What does the wise man do? According to what you just read. Huh?
Build his house.
He what? Exactly right. He not just hears it, he puts it into practice. And that's exactly what you did tonight, Dan. You heard the word this morning, you began to put it into practice. That's a wise man. What did the foolish man do? He heard it and then said, oh good, church is over, we're done. I put that time in. Or I went to sleep or I didn't pay any attention. That's the foolish, according to God. And I don't know about you, but we think we're pretty wise, but the Lord's saying to us, and he's giving us a standard of who the foolish is. And I want to give you some characteristics about a fool. Number one, his will. Do you know what your will is? You have a will, and your mind, will, and emotion. What does your will do? Do you know what your will does?
Makes decisions.
Huh?
Makes decisions.
Now, a fool's will is so hard and stubborn, it won't receive correction. Doesn't want to. Have you ever done this to your mom and dad? La, 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 la. That's the fool. Doesn't want to hear. Because if you hear, then what she's going to ask you to do? Do it. So if you don't hear, you don't have to do it. That's the fool. Number one, are you writing it down? Because your parents are going to ask you afterwards. Because we're going to be wise, and what will a wise man do? Put it into practice. I'm going to ask you that question all night long. What does a wise man do? Puts it into practice. Okay, so we've just discovered something about our will. If we're a fool, it means it's stubborn and doesn't want to obey. So now, how can we put that into practice? You said the word. Huh?
By obeying.
Did you hear what she said? Say it louder.
By obeying.
By obeying. What a novel thought. Will your parents ask you, what?
I said amen.
Amen. Now, we learned this morning that we... thank you. We learned this morning that we're to be zealous. Do you remember what we're supposed to be zealous about?
Repentance.
Yeah, say it loud.
Repentance.
We're to be passionate, huh?
On fire.
On fire to repent. I wake up in the morning going, yes, God, show me where I can repent.
You do that, don't you?
You do that, don't you? I can tell the wise son that you are, don't they, Dad and Mom? A wise man does, because he not only hears the word, but he puts it into practice. So how can you be zealous to repent? How do you do that? How do you put that into practice? What to? When your mom comes and tells you something you don't want to do, and you find yourself getting stubborn and resisting it, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to tell you, fool, fool, fool. And what will you be zealous to do?
Repent.
Of course. Now, I'm going to be calling your parents and asking them. That's what I mean, parents, by follow-up. Asking them, how are they doing? Are you seeing Mr. L?
Lay.
Is that short for lay?
Lay.
I just don't want to call them the wrong thing. That's what I'm concerned about. Are you going to, you know, call your dad and say, hey, you see, sell us to repent? Boy, you can't wait to repent. I can look in your face. Do you want to be a fool or a wise man? Now, who do I call for you, Dan?
Lloyd.
Who do I check up? Lloyd. Aha! Lloyd! That's who I call. Call for you. So I have your parents. Who do I call from you? Your mom, dad here? Back there.
Yes.
I'm going to be asking about Jason. I see zealous to repent. Your mom's here. Your mom's here. Dad here. Yours is. Yours is. Yours is. Okay. I know who to call for you. Okay. That's number one. Did you have that written down? What's the first one we looked at? A fool is what with their will?
Stubborn.
And isn't zealous to repent. But a wise man is...
Put it into practice.
Yes. Okay, that's number one. I will be back to it and ask you the question again. Number two, he trusts his own mind and heart. He figures, I know it's the right thing to do. I'm smarter than my mother. I'm smarter than my father. They're kind of old fogies. You know how this generation is. We're kind of the new generation, and we're smarter than our mom and dad. And probably in a lot of areas you are. But you're not smarter than God. What was that? We having comments? I just, you know. Okay. So, they trust it. They trust that. So now a wise man... So if the fool trusts their own mind and heart, what does a wise man do? That's a safe answer. Say it louder.
Trust God.
Trust God, he says, questioning. Yeah. Trust that your parents are being directed by the Lord, and even if they're not, you trust the Lord to correct them. Because you want to be a wise son. You want to be an obedient son. Because that's the only source of life that God has, is doing that. Okay, number three. The fool doesn't ask God into a situation. In other words, they just go about their merry way and don't pray. Remember we talked about being in a house of prayer this morning? A fool doesn't ask God. Now, what does a wise man, wise son do? Asks. That's the house of prayer we talked about this morning. Asks all the time. Asks for wisdom all the time. And number two, a fool does not seek God's perception and perspective. Doesn't want to know what God's thinking and what God is seeing. Fool doesn't care. I don't care about God. I don't care what he's thinking or feeling. I'm just going to do my thing. I'm going to go about my way. Now, what does a wise man do? You what? Ask the Lord. I need to know how you see this. I'm asking you to, and you pray for your parents. I'm asking my parents. Get the wisdom to see what you see, Lord. I want to see how you see this situation and how I see it. Okay. And the last one I'm going to look at is, have you ever done something wrong and blamed God? That's a fool. A fool gets himself into trouble and says, well, it was my parents. They're the ones. We blame people instead of looking at ourselves. That's a fool. What does a wise man do? Do what? He takes responsibility for what he has done. And said, I'm the man, I did it. Okay. Got them down in your notes? Who can tell them back to me? What are the four things we just looked at? One of them? He what?
His will is stubborn.
His will is stubborn. What does a wise man? He's zealous to repent. How is foolishness driven from your heart? Correction. Very good. What's number two? Trust his mind and heart. What does a wise man? And I'm hoping you can trust your parents. They're a little smarter than you are. They're asking the Lord for direction for you. Okay, third one. You remember that one. Takes responsibility for what he does. Yes. And what's the next one?
Blames
God. What does a wise man do? Takes responsibility when the fool blames God. Okay, there's one more.
Doesn't seek God's perception?
Say it louder.
Doesn't seek God's perception.
Yeah, doesn't seek God's perspective in the situation. Thinks he knows it, thinks he has it figured out, has it planned, and doesn't care. Doesn't want to know. Just doesn't care what God thinks in the situation because he's smarter than God. Okay, now I want to look at lame tonight. I asked the Lord when I studied this years ago about blind and lame. I asked the Lord, why did you heal those two? Because I believe Scripture is very specific when it names something. And I asked him, why the blind and lame? And he said to me, those two problems affect your walk. If you can't see, you're going to run into things. If you are lame in your feet, you will walk. Some lameness, according to Scripture, you can't even walk because your feet are lame. Actually, paralyzed or palsy. Two types of Scripture, they were actually impotent to be able to walk. They laid on a bed. Their feet were unable to walk. But the lame, you think about a deformed foot. Would that not affect your walk? And what does walk mean in Scripture? Your conduct, your manner of life, how you conduct your business, walking it out in your situation. I wanted to look tonight at Mephibosheth. That's in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel is the Old Testament. Mephibosheth. Second Samuel 4, verse 4. Okay, everyone get it? Second Samuel 4:4. Okay. Who has it? Dan, will you read it, please?
Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame and both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled, but as she hurried to leave, he fell and became crippled. His name was Mephibosheth.
Okay. Now, in this situation, the news came that Jonathan and Saul were dead. And the nurse that had this little baby was quickly leaving so that the baby would not be killed. And as she's leaving quickly, she drops the baby. And the Scripture says that because she dropped him, both his feet became lame. Okay, so do you understand the context of this? Now, this is how spiritually I apply this. How many times in our lives have we had an authority drop us? And it affected our walk. And we're going to start with parents, but I'm also looking at us as adults. That not only our parents dropped us many times, but authorities, teachers did, leaders did. And it affected how we walked. It affected how we handled ourselves in situations, how we began to respond to authority. And I know a lot of people have a problem with authorities because of their mom and dad. That they see in that authority, it triggers their issues with mom and dad. The failure, the pain that they've had with mom and dad, the times that mom and dad, I know you guys have never had this experience, but the times mom and dad promised you to do something and they didn't do it. Promised they'd do one thing and then they ended up doing something else. Ever had that? What did it make you feel like? You said X. Yes. Does it make you want to trust him again? Say it louder, because that's true.
Makes you not want to ask
him to do anything. Because they might drop you again. Remember we talked this morning about prayer, the same thing happens with God when we feel he has failed us? And the word the Lord gave me when I was praying for this, or actually last night, he gave me a specific word for tonight. He said that it isn't only your parents, he said, but you feel there's been times God has dropped you. That you've prayed about something, you've asked something, and you feel he has failed you. And it has affected your walk with him. Your life with him, your relationships with him. You even have it with one another. But tonight I wanted to look at authority, because when we look at the five A's, one of those A's is authority. And that we need godly biblical authorities in our life. The problem is, I as a parent am not always godly and biblical. There are a lot of times that I am crazy. And I've dropped my children. So what do I need to be zealous to do? Repent. Repent. Now, I want to challenge you kids tonight. I want to challenge you to first repent for yourselves, the feelings you have, pray for yourself with your A's. But then I'm going to challenge you to get to the place you can go to your authority and say, can I talk to you? You know, and such happened the other day, I was really hurt by that. How many of you are able to do that right now? Good. If you can, good. Sometimes. Why don't we?
It could be embarrassing.
Could be embarrassing to you, to them.
To us.
To you? I'm just asking what you're trying to say, okay? To admit that happened to you? What else keeps you from going to them?
You don't want to burden them.
Good point. Okay. Why wouldn't you go to your mom? Yes, you do. Why wouldn't you go to her?
Because it's hard to relate to, It's hard to relate.
What happened and what really is going on? The truth of it? That's real. Because a lot of times we don't know what really happened. We don't know what's going on. We just know we hurt. And we're not sure what the pain is, but we really hurt. And I really only had a simple thing I wanted to do tonight. Because the Lord said this is our problem tonight he wants to deal with. That we've been dropped by authorities. All of us have to some extent, to some degree. Whether parents, leaders. And didn't know at the time how much it affected us. No, something happened and deal with it. But not only do I want to deal with that tonight with you guys, but I also want to pray that God bring us to a place we can begin to go to our parents. I think it's fear. One of the things, I wouldn't go to my mom and dad, it's fear. What they would do, how they would react, how they would handle it, if they'd get mad at me, tell me I'm dumb and stupid. I mean, it just to me, it's an unknown. I wouldn't even know how they would respond. I never thought about going to my parents. I thought about going to my brothers and sisters. I complained to everybody else but my parents. But the scripture says to us, I want to give Matthew. Remember Matthew was our wise and foolish builder? Matthew 7? Go back to that. Matthew 7. 7. We read about the wise and foolish. And Jesus had said, everyone who hears these words, verse 24, Matthew 7, who hears these words of mine and acts on them. So now what were these words? So you go back to chapter 5. And that's the Sermon on the Mount. It's these words. And I want to go to a specific thing Jesus said in this Sermon on the Mount. Verse 21 of 5. And we're going to go through to 24. Okay? Matthew 5, 21 to 24. Have it, Bethany?
Yeah.
Okay, read it for me.
Ye have heard that it was said by them in old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say of his brother, Raca, shall be in the danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell fire. Therefore, if you bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembereth that thy brother hath a wrath against thee.
Mine is grievance. I don't know what your word is.
I don't know.
Okay. Grievance.
Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be recounseled by thy brother and then come and offer thy gift.
Okay. Now the context. Start, go up to verse 21 and what's it talking about? What's 21 talk about? Huh? I think it is. Which is, it's talking about murder. Okay, that's the context, murder. Now, Jesus said it was written, but I'm saying to you, so now the context is murder, right? Killing someone. Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Now, what does he now talk about in verse 22? Anger. So what's equating anger to?
Murder.
All right, so when you're angry with someone, God sees it. It's no different than someone who has murdered. He's coming and bringing the law down to us in our motives. And then he tells us if we are, we're in trouble. And he says in verse 23 and 24 what to do about it. What does he tell us to do about it? When you find yourself angry with someone, hurt with someone, having a problem with someone, what does he say to do? What would a wise man do?
Be subject to judgment.
23 and 24. You're offering your gift at the altar, and you remember what? You have a problem with your brother. You had a fight with your sister on the way to church, and you're here coming and worshiping the Lord. And the Lord says, hey, you just had a fight with your sister. And what does the Lord tell you to do if you're going to be a wise son? Go and make it right with them. So, you're on the way to church, you have a big fight with your mom or your dad. You come to church, and God says, you got a grievance with your mom. You're angry with her. You're angry with your dad. What's he tell you to do? A wise son would put into practice, and what does it say to do? Huh? Go make it right with them. Now, I know tonight you're zealous to repent for all the times you have been a foolish son and not gone to your parents. I know you're just waiting to repent, aren't you? I can tell, Dan. Tip of your thumb right here. Yes, God, I'm ready to repent. I want to go and put this one into practice. I can call your parents. Find out, hey, how many times has Johnny come to you, Dad? And made it right with something he was upset about. And Dimitri. Jason? When's the last time you've done that? Can you think? What time? Yeah, good. Are you zealous? So, we have a choice tonight. Jesus is saying, do you want to build your house, which is your temple, on sand or on a rock? Do you want to be a wise son or a foolish son? Now, a wise son receives correction. A foolish son doesn't receive correction. And tonight, what am I giving you? I'm giving you correction. I'm spanking you. I'm saying you not need to. You better start doing this. I don't want you to be a foolish son. I don't want you to be a foolish son. Foolish daughter. Because a wise son hears and... yes, put them to practice. And a wise son is zealous to
repent.
So we're going to be zealous tonight to repent. What do we need to repent for? Huh? And how are we foolish? Making bad choices. What else do we need to repent for tonight? Stubborn will, is that what you said? Is that what you said, Jim? Disobedience? I can tell we're zealous. Boy, I just... thoughts are flowing. What?
Blaming God.
Excellent, yes. Yes. How many have parents here tonight? Now, we're going to repent first, but you know what I'm going to ask you to do? Put into practice what I just said. And go to your parents and repent to them for being a foolish son. Can you start there? What can you start with to do tonight? Can you repent for that? You can come and repent to me. Okay? All right. Tough, isn't it? The thought of doing that, I'm sure, makes you guys thrilled. If you can't do that tonight, I'm asking you to go to them and say, I want to be able to. Will you pray with me tonight so I can? Can you do that, Jason? Can you do that, Jan? Dimitri? Can you do that? Can you do that? Start there. Mom, see his head shake? Where is she? Okay. Where's your mom? There she is. Okay. Can you go and say that to your mom? See, they don't have any other response but that, because I'm going to stay with them until they do. Can you? All right. Yes. Your mom's here. Yeah, she's here. Your mom. Sandy's your mom, right? Okay. Can you do that? Sure. Yes. Your mom's here. Where's your mom? Okay, there's your mom. Okay. Yep. Your mom's here. Yes. Which one's your mom? Yes, I thought so. Oh, I know. She's what?
She's my sister.
Oh, yeah, I thought you pointed to her, and I didn't think... Okay, gotcha. I thought so. Okay. All right. All right, good. So everyone has their parent here, and you come and repent to me, all right? Now, you adults, they have your kids here. Your kids are going to be coming to you after I pray. And what is your responsibility, parents? Huh? Do what?
Listen to them repent.
Absolutely. And when someone repents you,
forgive
them. You don't say anything more, parents. You don't say, I knew that, and there's probably 16 other things you need to repent for tonight. I'll give you my list. I know you guys wouldn't do that, but I'm giving you your instructions, parents, because I believe the word of God. And I believe God wants to restore us to our parents biblically. And I want a relationship established between you and your parents. Because I want you to be wise kids instead of fools. And I believe God is the only wise person. He knows what he's talking about. And wants you to be wise and grow up wise. Okay. We're going to start with repentance. You guys, I'm expecting you silently to repent for the things God has put on your heart. Okay? Yes? Yes? You adults, had anyone drop you? Okay. What are we repenting as adults? You're not off the hook, guys. We've all had some kind of authority drop us, and it's hurt us and affected our walk, and we've been lame. We not only need to repent, but I don't know if we've ever asked the Lord to heal our lameness. We didn't know it caused us to be lame. We didn't know it affected our walk. We didn't know it affected our responses. I was unaware of that until the Lord opened this up to me, and I said, Lord, I didn't know it affected my walk. I just thought it was that situation, but it had tainted how I walked with every authority. From that point on, how I responded to authorities, because they reminded me. I remember one time I went into my boss, and she called me into her office. And I remember going to her office just like this. I just was going in like this, and I said, God, why am I a nervous wreck? And the Lord said to me, anytime your dad wanted to talk to you was always when you were bad. Never when I'd done anything right. So what was I expecting her to do? My dad came out of my gut, and here I was, and I had no reason to believe this person would do that. She's never proven that to me. But my gut started, and I was nervous. I went in, and it's like my whole life flashed, thinking, oh my goodness, what I do, what I do, what did I do, what did I do? I'm in trouble now. That's the only thing that came to my brain. I'm in trouble now. I remember saying to someone the other day, I want to talk to you, and the first thought was, am I in trouble? Now, where'd that come from? That comes from somewhere, guys. And all I asked is, I want to talk to you. Can I talk to you? And they said, am I in trouble? Well, I knew that came from, and I turned around and said, no, you're not in trouble. Because I knew right away, I could hear her saying to herself, I'm in trouble. And I had to clarify, you're not in trouble. I turned around and said, you're not in trouble. This is good what I'm going to do. And it was like, oh, okay. That's lame. Because I was in an authority position at that time and I triggered something that had to do nothing with me. But I became that other person in that person's situation. And I found myself walking into Iverna's office like this, and when the Lord said to me, she reminds you of your dad. And how you reacted to every time you were called into his office, you got in trouble. You were yelled at, you got disciplined. It was never just to tell me I was okay. And I expected this person to do the same thing. Was inside here. And it never came to pass, but it didn't change my reaction and what I went through. I don't want you guys being raised like that. I want you to be able to have a healthy response to authority, a godly response to authority. Now, I can prove to you I'm a crazy person, but not because your gut says I am, or your experiences say, uh-oh, another authority, and you know how they are. That's what we say in the back of our minds. I see it all the time. I have pastors call me all the time, wondering why the people respond a certain way, and I say it's because of the past issues with mom and dad that aren't resolved. And you became your dad to them, your mom to them. And they're taking out on you what they had in the relationship with mom and dad. We are all lame. And we need the Lord to heal us tonight. Okay, so good. We have plenty of time. Ready to repent? Are we zealous too? Repent! Yay! Hoo-ah! Yeah, I almost said Yahoo. Thank you. Okay. Who wants to begin leading us in repentance? Guys, you thought I asked you to eat worms. Want me to start? Okay. I can tell you, zealous to repent. Yes, Lord. Change our hearts so this is true and real. Change us, Lord. We don't even know how to be zealous to repent, Lord, so we start there. This is new to us, Lord, and yet we want to be wise and not foolish. So I'm asking you even for myself. I want to be zealous to repent. Change my heart. We sang it tonight, Lord. Change us. Change my heart that I am zealous to repent. Lord, I don't believe anyone here desires to be a fool. And we're discovering tonight what you say a fool is. And we can't change ourselves, Lord. We need you to do it. We need you to help us. We need you to remind us. We need you to teach us. Father, I'm asking that you deal with the parents and their foolishness, and where they haven't given godly correction. It's come out of their own issues. And they have dropped their children. And I'm asking you tonight to convict them that if they need to repent to their children for dropping their children, failing their children, I ask you to give them that conviction tonight. That there be a mutual repentance. Times they've been angry with their children, and you saw it as murder, and they didn't make it right. They took it out in anger instead of dealing in repentance and restoration of the relationship. Lord, we repent as parents that we have dropped our children. Show us, Lord. We want to put this into practice. Show us in the days ahead where we drop our children, where we say one thing and do something else. Where we've dropped them in the past, we give you the right to show us. We need your help, Lord. We need your help. But I thank you, Lord, that you don't put in your word something that you don't empower us to do. that you don't equip us to do, that you are eager to do and want to do. That's why you've given us the Holy Spirit to empower us and change us. That's why you've given us the blood to cleanse us. And Lord, you've shown us what a fool is, and we don't want to stay foolish. Forgive us, Lord. We repent for not receiving correction. We've been stubborn against the correction of our parents. We've not obeyed them. We've justified it. We've done wrong and blamed our parents. Their fault. They were the hypocrite. It was them. If they hadn't, we wouldn't have. Lord, we repent for that. Begin to show us, Lord, in the days ahead, when our will is stubborn, where we depend on our own minds, where we are truly fools. For all of us, Lord, we come to you and say that we're all stubborn and rebellious in heart. And none of us tonight, Lord, have received healthy, godly correction consistently. It wasn't driven out of our hearts. Lord, I can confess that tonight for myself, my parents did not always correct me godly. And I've had to deal with a lot of foolishness and continue to. And I confess that tonight. I don't want to be a fool. I want to be a wise son. I want my mind changed, my will changed from first Adam to second Adam, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching these children at this age that they don't have to continue to walk lame, that you want to heal their lameness. Lord, I'm asking as they deal with the parents and parents with them tonight that you would bring the lameness that's in the home healing, that you would begin to heal us tonight, Lord. This is scary. We don't know how to do this, Lord. But your word says that we're to leave our gift at the altar if we have a problem with someone and make it right with them. Forgive us, Lord. We have not done that. We've been afraid of our parents. We've been afraid of our children. We've been permissive and not wanted to correct. We've gone in denial and not wanted to do the right thing. Forgive us, Lord. We have sinned against your word. We have not made it right with a person we have had a grievance with, ought with, conflicts with. And we don't know how to, Lord. This is new, but we want to be wise. We want to be obedient to your word and put it into practice. We want our homes to be a house of prayer, where you are the Lord of it, the ruler of it, the leader of it. That you dwell there. That you don't have to come with your whip and bring correction. And Lord, you walked out of that temple and healed the blind and the lame. And I thank you tonight you're healed here to heal our lameness. You're here to heal our relationships. We can't do it without you, Lord. We're totally ignorant. We're helpless. This is awkward to us, foreign to us, strange to us. We fear it. We need your help. We need your help, Lord. Give us a sensitivity of your spirit, Lord. I'm asking you to restore the hearts of the kids to the fathers and the fathers to the sons, the daughters to the mothers, Lord, and the mothers to their daughters. Restore us, Lord. That's on your heart. That's why you came, Lord Jesus, to bring that kind of restoration in our homes. I thank you, Lord, that only you can empower us tonight and give us the wisdom we need for one another, the healing that we need for one another, the grace and the mercy for one another, the healing of our lameness with one another. I would like the kids and parents to find some place in the back separate, and I'd like everyone else who is not a part of that to come up here because I want to pray for you.